it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, and away we go tonight on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, following the Blitz. And looking forward to some great soccer conversation tonight. We've got the Gold Cup on tap. We'll talk about that and the two matchups per Fred Fowler and AJ. We will also give away some tickets tonight. A couple of great interviews. Jordi Sunyer is going to take us through everything La Liga in the second hour, including Barcelona and a number of things happening at the club there as to getting themselves fit for financial play. Felipe Cardenas, you heard the story about Gabriel Heinze in Atlanta getting replaced. Kind of like a soap opera, a lot of things behind the scenes. He did an amazing article in The Athletic, and we will also talk to Felipe today about that and about the foreign manager and how they adapt culturally, if they're autocratic coming to a league like MLS. Also, talk of Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra and behind the scenes there. Some people not getting along. Look, professional sports, there are big egos. There are people that are very talented, very ambitious, want to be winners, want control, also want to preserve their jobs. This is a part of professional sports. There's no question about it. Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan will join us at 7:40, and we're going to ask him a number of things, including about the transfer window and the questions that you want answered as Houston Dynamo fans. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, if you've got questions, and or right now. You can call the show at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. As always, we are presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual here in Houston, Texas. All you got to do is call them, 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to go to work for you. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. They'll get you the representation you need if you get in an accident. We all get nervous when we get in one. Car, boat, motorcycle, you name it. You might work in a refinery or drive an 18-wheeler. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. It is 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. And we thank them, John and his firm, for being, getting us on the air. Listen, it's important that, and I say this a lot, as a once-a-week soccer show, as a show that, you know, we put a lot of effort in, hopefully, in your minds, and you reap the benefits and enjoy the show. Maybe there's things you want. You tell me what you want more on the show. We'll deliver. But it doesn't happen without the sponsor. So we thank them. And it doesn't happen without either a station also that supports the game. And ESPN 97.5, 92.5 in Houston, Texas is the soccer station, bar none. Everybody else can jump in when the big games come. We're covering it for you 24-7, day in, day out, and weekly. And the podcasts are always available at ESPN975.com. All right, Aaron Raybould, has there been talk today on some of the other shows about the Gold Cup? Now, put your hand up in the air and tell me the truth.
I mean, we talked briefly about it on the Blitz because Fred has an interest in, he has a betting interest in Qatar, and he has a rooting interest in Canada and the U.S.
Yep.
So,
Canada, is that a new country? Did Fred tell you that?
That's how Fred probably will rename it once he takes over as Supreme Leader.
That's funny. Well, listen, there's nothing to lose for Canada out at Energy this Thursday night. So Canada will be taking on Mexico. Obviously, that's going to be a pro-Mexico crowd. Mexico came alive against Honduras in the quarterfinals. Texas is home to the Gold Cup semifinals, which is pretty spectacular for our state. Q2 Stadium on Thursday will host the U.S. and Qatar. Actually, that's a pretty interesting bet to take because a couple of things. Qatar has not lost in 12 games. They're unbeaten. Their manager is Felix Sanchez. He was a Barcelona youth coach. they've done a lot with their local league in the country. You've heard me have Hector Moreno on the show in the past, the center back for the Mexican national team, who and he plays in Qatar for Al Gharafa, and we've had conversations about how the teams in Qatar have brought in, you know, players like himself that are experienced to mix in with the Qatari players. And then, of course, they've played in different tournaments. They're here in the Gold Cup. They're performing well. They do concede goals. I think they are a bit suspect defensively. But going forward, I'll tell you what, in transition, they're a dangerous team. They scored three against Panama. They hit El Salvador for three. They scored two goals in the first 8 minutes against El Salvador. So I think for the United States in this game, I think we'll see them with maybe a little bit more of the possession, but when the ball turns over in transition, they're going to be have to be very alert with Ali and Afif up front. Afif is the guy with the hair. Very creative player. I'm looking forward to seeing him step it up. But Qatar is going to have to step their level up against the United States. I don't think there's any question. That said, El Salvador and Hugo Perez came back and scored two goals. And they were one of the stories of the tournament, El Salvador. And we did an interview with Hugo Perez on the last show, and you can go back to the podcast at ESPN975.com and listen to that. So pretty much it was Fred and AJ who really were bringing it up, Aaron.
Yes. It was more Fred wanting to talk about it.
Yeah. Do you find it interesting when you know you're going to get 50 or 60,000 people at Energy Stadium that nobody else really wants to dip in the water and at least acknowledge it and talk about it? Or do you just think, you know, that's where we are? I mean, I saw somebody on Twitter say that the game has been suppressed in this country. I mean, yeah, maybe it has in some ways, for sure. But in other ways, I think it's just people talking about what interests them most.
Well, not only that, but from a media perspective, I mean, soccer fans, the ones who are fans are rabid, and the last thing somebody who is an on-air personality wants to do is talk about a sport that they don't really have a firm grasp on or that they're not an expert in, because soccer fans jump all over them and, well, you don't know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, cool. I won't talk about it, because if you think I don't know about it, fine. I won't even try to delve into those waters.
Yeah, that's a very good comment you just made. Enough of the wagging of the finger, you know. That's not how you get people on board to respect it. That's a small minority, I think. A lot of times the judgment of the whole soccer fan comes off that smaller minority that wants to be the know-it-all, and that's a bit too bad. But, you know, look, you also have to make an effort. You can always bring somebody else on to talk about it. Look, if you were in Austin, Texas right now, You have to talk about soccer on your station. You have to, because it's, along with UT Athletics, the hottest thing. They're selling the stadium out all the time. It's like being in Europe. You got to get into it. The sister show to this one, which I have on the Horn, their hosts, Bucky and Aaron and the other guys, they're talking about it. They're even doing podcasts. They have to. They know they have to. You need that listenership. You need that attention. And it's a great time to be involved in soccer in Austin as it's blowing up. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. And, yeah, don't wag the finger. You know, there's too many people out there these days who want to be the know-it-all all the time. Just have a discussion with people. Somebody call in and give me a good answer here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We're starting it off tonight talking Gold Cup. We will get into Dynamo transfers, Matt Jordan. We will get into this interesting situation in Atlanta with Gabriel Heinze being released. So the U.S. Comes off a late win against Jamaica, Matthew Hoppe. So Matthew Hoppe, I think, for the United States, his stock goes up. We saw him hitting volleys off his left foot, his right foot. He's got an insatiable attitude up front to score goals. And, of course, he scores the header. Christian Roldan had come on for Paul Arriola. Roldan, hung up a nice cross at the far post, and Hoppe headed it in. Now, Hoppe's at Schalke in the second division. He needs to get out of Bundesliga 2 and get to a bigger club. But the way they started in the last game, Sam Vines at left back, James Sands, Robinson in the middle, Shaq Moore. You know, there's some promise there with all four of those guys, I think. My question is, do you think Robinson, Miles Robinson, who plays for Atlanta United, is he pushing his way into you know, the upper echelon of center backs of the U.S. national team, which is John Brooks, Walker Zimmerman, Aaron Long, these guys. What do you think of Miles Robinson so far? And U.S. fan who's out there right now, what do you think of this performance, this team? Where do you position it? Obviously, it's not the first team. And who do you think stock has risen? I think Kellen Acosta's stock has risen as well. I think Busio in the six is a little bit of a physical push on him. But Kellen Acosta, I think, is another one that's on the rise. Of course, was an FC Dallas product, now at Colorado. He's going to be joined there, by the way, by Mark Anthony Kay, who's going to play for Canada. And then it was Hoppy, DK, and Areola up front, and Leggett obviously was in midfield with Acosta and Busio. So DK, you probably got to give the edge to Hoppy right now simply because he scored that goal. His touches let him down a little bit. I still think Daryl DK is a good, promising one for the future. Zardes came off the bench in behind him, but the center forward position for the U.S. national team is one that is got to be an eye kept on right now. So it would be the U.S., the best defending team against, based on group play and everything, the best attacking team in Qatar. Qatar had 12 goals in four games. They are the Asian champions. They are fun to watch. They lit it up very early at BBVA Stadium, if you were out there. They scored two goals in the first 8 minutes against El Salvador. Transition team, like to get forward quickly, can play through this Afif. Ali gets chances every game. And, well, this is an attack-oriented team that is going to hope to probably up the tempo, maybe hit the U.S. in transition. Now, I'm interested to see what Greg Berhalter does tactically. Does he go out and go after him? Does he sit back, defend in a lower block, and entice Qatar to come out and play and try to break them down? So let's see what happens with the tactics of this and move them higher up the field, and then, you know, maybe you can hit them on the counterattack. You got guys that can run as well. But we'll see. This is why it makes it a very interesting matchup, Q2 Stadium on Thursday night. And, Qatar's a surprise package in some ways. 58th in the world. Their manager is Felix Sanchez. And they got a number of players from the team over there called Al Saad, especially at the back end of the team. Then we've got on Thursday, right here in Houston, Energy Stadium. Mexico taking on Canada. And Mexico, man, you're loving your new Argentine striker, aren't you, Funes Mori? You are absolutely loving him. Now, here's the problem with Funes Mori. If he leads you to the Gold Cup, every Argentine on the planet, on the globe, is going to say, hey, Mexico, you won this Gold Cup because of an Argentine, Funes Mori. 713-780-3776. And Mexico's not a country that necessarily naturalizes a lot of guys for their national team. In fact, South American teams don't do that a whole lot. It doesn't happen very often. But it fills a void, because I don't think Tata Martino wants anything to do with Chicharito Hernandez. I don't think Raul Jimenez obviously is not ready yet. So there you have it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Again, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Scott is on the line. Scott, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I had a quick question for you. I'm not, our family's never been a big soccer guy. You just asked about what does America think about, you know, or what does our local area think about soccer. I'm really interested in this young team we've got. I've been watching them on the Gold Cup, and I'm very excited about the young players and the coach, and I think the atmosphere is great. I did have a question, being a football and baseball guy. I've been around Little League for many, many years. Can you answer me a question on why or how is Qatar considered in the Gold Cup with most North American and South American teams?
Yeah, because it is CONCACAF, and you're right, it's a regional tournament. A lot of times they have guest teams. Since they're hosting the next World Cup in 2022, they get invited to these tournaments. It happens a lot. They've been in the Copa America as well. So that's really it. They come in as sort of an independent team, as the hosts of the next World Cup. And, you know, it's an Asian Confederation team to kind of to spice things up a little bit. That's really what it's about.
Well, that makes total sense. I really appreciate it. And myself and my family are getting into soccer more than
Scott, are you aware that, you know, that the United States is in an unprecedented time now with players over in Europe and playing for big teams like Chelsea, Juventus, Borussia Dortmund, Red Bull Leipzig? I mean, are you aware of that?
For big money contracts, yes, sir.
Okay. Now,
that does make sense. It's just, you know, watching this team with the youth and the atmosphere, and like I said, the energy, it's been really nice to see. I think it's been a change over the last few years, especially with the coach. So,
no, I don't think there's any question. This is a very differing, unique time. I think not getting to the last World Cup, as painful as it was, accelerated the process. You got a bunch of really young guys. This team you're watching here, maybe a couple of them make the final World Cup squad. Shows you about the depth now. Shows you that professional teams are moving, and our player development system is starting to reap some benefits. There's more young guys playing in Major League Soccer. There's more opportunity for young players overseas. Germans are coming strong and hard for American players. Italian Serie A is now. So it really is unprecedented times. And if you think that we're hosting the World Cup in 2026, hopefully here in Houston, we'll be one of the sites. But if you think about this cycle, getting to the next World Cup, and then another 4 years later, a lot of these guys are going to be 26, 27 years old with boatloads of experience. And if there was ever, dare I even say it, a chance to win a World Cup, it might be on home soil, advancing and making a run at it, as these young guys who are really making this national team their own, that they continue to absolutely want to grab the mantle, take it, and bring this wonderful, as you said, youthful enthusiasm. And whether it's the full A squad or B squad, I see that enthusiasm and that desire from everybody, which I think is really, really a good thing. It's really, really refreshing, to your point.
And so that's the reason why we have the B squad and the Gold Cup in. They're playing the other guys. Some of the other guys are playing with their normal clubs overseas and getting the big money.
Yeah, there was a Nations League tournament before. They used the players that were overseas. It's a wise move. It's done in a contrived manner, because they want those young guys back in preseason camp with all those big clubs so that they can compete. Some of them have new coaches that they've got to prove themselves to. They don't want to be getting into preseason late, because once you're behind the eight ball, sometimes at that level, with that competition, with that quality of player in the Premier League, the Serie A, La Liga in Spain, you get behind, you don't catch up. And it's that competitive.
Well, I really appreciate your time and answering some questions from, like I said, a huge football and baseball guy, but I'm really starting to get the bug. So I appreciate your time, Glenn.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Much appreciated. Good stuff there from Scott. See, those are great calls. And to Aaron's point, you never wag the finger. Look, Scott's obviously a sports guy. He's gotten hooked on a U.S. national team that's young and aggressive. And he's not even watching, you know, the Pulisics of the world right now. He's not watching the Tyler Adams. He's not watching the Gio Reynas. It's a beautiful thing. Absolutely beautiful thing. All right. And like I said, Mexico. Funes Mori. He's Argentine. Gallardo, Moreno, Araujo, Dos Santos, Herrera, Alvarez, Funes Mori, Pineda, Tecatito, Corona. Mexico came alive against Honduras. Gave him a beatdown. 26th minute, 31st and 38th. And when you play Honduras without Albert Elise and Ramel Quioto, you're not playing the full Honduras. And it'll be a benchmark for Canada. It's a great opportunity for Canada and John Herdman. And we'll see what happens in energy on Thursday night. But they are the severe underdogs in that one. They'll have to come up with an amazing performance. But you know what? Cavalier spirit in front of a crowd that's against you, that is also a beautiful thing, and that should be something any athlete wants to live up to. All right, quick word here for FM Kitchen. FM Kitchen is north of Washington Avenue. It's on Shepherd. It's on the right-hand side. Great craft cocktails, great fresh food, big picnic area. It's like a beer garden outside. Go over there. You can bring your dogs. You can bring your family. And I like the fact that you can get a great cocktail there along with very, very good food. Not just alcohol dumped into some juice and called a drink. Craft cocktails there, great food. They've also got the new location down near Montrose and Westheimer. It's right next to Velvet Taco. Get down to the new location as well. That's a fun one. Great little bar in there. Both of these places have tons of monitors, by the way, at FM Kitchen and Bar. For your viewing pleasure, sports, they will have the Gold Cup on. They always have the Dynamo on when we do Dynamo games. Take a break. We're going to come back. We got more. Give us a call, 713-780-3776. Third caller right now, you get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo RSL.
Hola, soy Mateo Bajamich. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Mothers y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
Well, Jamaica may be out of the tournament. Doesn't mean you can't play Peter Tosh. One of the great concerts I ever went to. That is when I waved my hand in front of me to move the smoke so I could see the stage. But it was a great show, the Ritz in New York. Probably nobody out there even knows what the Ritz was on East 11th Street. All right, we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here. We continue the Gold Cup talk here. I'll also put this question out here right now. How big of a statement would it be if the U.S. get to the final under Greg Berhalter? Is that something you expect, even with the B squad? I'm not calling it the JV squad like the AP did, which I thought was incredibly disrespectful. AP did an article on the U.S. national team and called them the JV team. I don't know. It's a little disrespectful for me. I don't know what you think. 713-780-3776. Let's continue the calls on the Gold Cup here. Let's go, I think, Joe. Joe, what's on your mind, Joe?
Hey, my what on my mind is you brought up a good point about our Mexico striker situation. You know, we have an Argentinian playing for the team and Tata Martino not bringing Chicharito. And you think that Mexico should be concerned for the next World Cup, knowing that Vela and Chicharito are almost on their way out and you only have Jimenez left. Should Mexico be looking for another striker for the next World Cup, or you think that's enough for what they have?
Well, the next World Cup is about a year and a half away. Raul Jimenez gets healthy. He's an incredible, as you know already, tremendous striker, Wolves in the Premier League. And Funes Mori is in the same kind of mold as him. And I'll tell you what, I mean, with those two guys, I think you're feeling pretty good. Chicharito is very different than Funes Mori and Raul Jimenez. He's more of a movement and mobility guy, as you know. Carlos Vela, I'm not sure what his interest is. Now, Chicharito and Vela also have, you know, some history with the Federation and problems with the Federation and parties and people having to take responsibility for things. Tata Martino's a no-nonsense guy, and if you're going to be a part of the Mexican national team, I think you're going to really have to fall in line. Whether Chicharito ever gets another chance or not, I don't know. I don't think he's gonna. I think that's part of the reason why Funes Mori was signed. Do you find that a problem that a naturalized Argentine is now, an Argentine is now a naturalized Mexican leading the line for the Mexican national team?
No, I don't find it a problem. I know we had players before. Like, we took one, a Brazilian to South Africa. He scored a great goal for us. We also had, like, an Argentinian named Boto who helped us reach, the Gold Cup. And we had several others. It's just the fact that, like, I'm saying, like, Vela and Chicharito, I don't see them coming back. And, you know, if we go to the World Cup with two strikers and you don't have a third one at least, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, that's my only concern. I don't know if Jimenez might be ready, but I'm saying, like, that's your only two options. You know, before we had Giovanni Dos Santos, we had Vela, we had Chicharito, we had even Marquez that was a defender to do headers. But now you're just limiting yourself to two people. You know?
Well, listen, somebody can definitely emerge throughout the Liga MX season. Jimenez and Funes Mori are two very, very good strikers. And I mean, you got to get mouthwatered when you think about Corona and Chucky Lozano around those guys. And by the way, Orbelin Pineda has been pretty good in the absence of Chucky Lozano. So I wouldn't be worried. No, I wouldn't be worried. I think the U.S. wishes they had the Mexico problem with Raul Jimenez and Funes Mori, quite frankly.
Okay. And also, I want to thank you for the show. Great job. I listen to you every week. And also, the fact that it's what you said earlier is true. I'm looking forward to seeing the U.S. in the World Cup 22 and 2026 because those squads that they have, I tell my friends all the time, they're going to bring a surprise. They're going to bring joy to this country because those kids are learning and playing at a top-level squad. And I feel like 2022 or 2026, they're going to shock the world.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. Like I said, it's unprecedented times for U.S. soccer when it comes to the amount of players coming through, player development, things like that. I agree with you 100%. I love their energy. I love the fact that they're not afraid. They're taking their chances. I mean, this is a completely different team here. All these guys are trying to push and make the World Cup team. So I think it's, you know, there's some good times to come in the future.
Thank you, and thank you for answering my question. Have a wonderful evening.
All right, you too. Thank you so much for the support of the show. I appreciate that. So I said, how big of a statement if the U.S. gets to the final under Greg Berhalter with the perceived so-called B team? How do you feel about that? 713-780-3776. And by the way, Mexico fan, if Mexico doesn't win this, is this a big blow to Tata Martino in Mexico? I mean, got a lot of big guns there. Hector Herrera, Jonathan Dos Santos, Hector Moreno, Gallardo, all big names. Tecatito Corona, and the new naturalized Argentine Funes Mori. By the way, naturalizing a player is not something unique. It is unique to Mexico, though, and that's part of the reason why I've always liked the Mexican national team is because, you know, they're outside of the United States, they're not going all over the world, you know, to find naturalized players. Certainly it's happened with the U.S. because we share a border and our country has the population that it does. There's no question. And the U.S. and the U.S. and Mexico are fighting over players and to some degree at times the U.S. and Canada. But, you know, that's one of the things that's very defining about the football. And sometimes when we say to ourselves, you know, what is the United States playing style? Well, you never question that about Mexico. You know the way they play. They're technically gifted. Their big thing now is confidence, I think. I think it's the confidence to go farther, to go bigger. I don't know why they always stumble where they do in World Cups. Olympics are great. World Cups is where it's at, frankly. So, anyway. It's been interesting to see Funes Mori. He's got 3 goals in the Gold Cup. He's got 4 and 5 appearances for Mexico. And Tata Martino made no bones about wanting him. And he's got him. So I don't know what's going to happen to Chicharito and Carlos Vela. It doesn't seem like they're in the plans. And in the case of Carlos Vela, I'm not sure he wants to be in the plans. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Who's going out to Thursday night at Energy Stadium to see Mexico and Canada? Are there any Canadian fans out there? By the way, Houston Dynamo's Tyler Pasher is on Canada. Did not play in the last match. He did come on in the latter stages for John Herdsman against the U.S. Got a couple of minutes there, but we'll see. We'll see if Tyler Pasher gets an opportunity against Mexico, who I would assume their lineup is going to stay very, very similar, Canada, to the last time. Crapo in goal, Alistair Johnston of Nashville, SC, Vittoria, Miller, Ustakeo, Mark Anthony Kay, who, by the way, just moved to the Colorado Rapids. So there's something interesting I have to mention. Mark Anthony Kay was plucked out of the USL by Bob Bradley in LAFC. It was at a time where a lot of times MLS teams were, if they're going to pull somebody out of the USL, they wanted it to come from one of their affiliated teams. He came from a non-affiliated team with the LAFC. And I think, and I have to check on this, but LAFC is going to get some real MLS monopoly money to play with Mark Anthony Kay going to Colorado. Now, Colorado is going to be strengthened in midfield with him and Kellen Acosta. That is going to be interesting to watch. Tajon Buchanan and Richie Larea out wide. These guys like to get forward. Buchanan is just a very persistent wide guy. Hoyle likes to pull the strings a bit, as well as Osorio. And then, you got a bit of a battery ram up front and Lucas Cavallini. He needs to do more, Cavallini. I know he's big, he's muscle-bound, he's a strong, powerful guy. He needs to do more. It's the first semifinal in 14 years for Canada. And I will give you a little tip-off. When Canada last won the Gold Cup, the only time they won the Gold Cup, I called those games for Fox. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Now, this is sweet, Fox on the run. Now, they sometimes play this at Dynamo games. And I think they might have heard this on this show. Because not everybody knows about the glam rock band Sweet. All right, we're going to take a break here. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It is your home for soccer coverage. A big thank you to all of our sponsors. Advantage BMW Midtown, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, FM Kitchen and Bar, Cactus Music. We put a new Burning Topics out. Get over to Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer, Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer, and check it out. We'll take a break. We're coming back with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hi, this is Adam Lundquist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Thank you for that intro, Adam Lundquist. Houston Dynamo this weekend will take on RSL Real Salt Lake back at BBVA Stadium. Right now, third caller at 713-780-3776. You will get a pair of tickets. This show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We've got about 12 to 13 minutes with Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan, and he joins us now. Matt, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, always good. So I'm going to just kind of get into it. We're going to volley some questions at you and let you volley them back. Let's just start off. What is the goal here in this transfer window, which obviously ends August 5th? And, you know, I've obviously had Tab Ramos on the show. We've talked about it as well. But what is the goal in this transfer window?
Well, I think, you know, we've already accomplished a big goal of ours, which was to add an important central defender in Teenage Adebe as a designated player. I think we've been really pleased with the way that he's transitioned into the team so quickly. I think it's pretty clear the quality he has. And so that was a big important part of, you know, as we headed into this window, to add a key piece there. I'd say, you know, anytime you enter the transfer window, you know, you also want to look to strengthen each line. You know, we added a young player that we feel has some upside and has the capacity to continue to grow with us, with Griffin Dorsey. And, you know, I'd say right now we're pretty far down the line with another addition that, you know, it's not done yet, but we're working very hard to close it. And then there's continually having extensive talks within the league with different player transactions that are coming up. So it's not a lot of sleep right now, Glenn. Let me put it that way.
Yep. Is this a signing that would occur potentially by the August 5th deadline here in this current transfer window, Matt?
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, right now that's the objective. You know, we're in advanced discussions at the moment. There's still a couple things we're trying to work through. So I'm not going to say it's a done deal, but it's something that we're working towards. So hopefully, you know, in the near future, you know, before the window closes, we'll be able to get over the line.
He's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us. Obviously, midfield, there are some needs to add some creativity there. Is that a big part of the future at some point, getting a game changer in that area of the field?
Yeah, look, I think it's an area we are looking at. I mean, I think that the last couple of games in particular, you know, our midfield set three have done a really good job. And I have to give those guys, you know, the guys that have been in there working really hard, you know, Matias and Joe and Derek and Memo and different guys. I mean, they've all been doing a really good job. We've gotten better in possession, you know, the last few games, which has been good to see. I mean, you know, there is a reality, Glenn. I mean, we've had the most away games. We're tied for the most away games of any team in the league. You know, we've had 9 of our 15 games this season on the road. So we're certainly looking forward to getting back in front of our fans here in Houston. So we like the group we have, but we're always looking to strengthen it as well.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not questioning anybody's work ethic. All the guys that you've mentioned there, they're all working very hard. But, you know, you are drawing a lot of games. Tab and I talked about this, and to get over the hump on those, it just seems like, you know, you need that maybe singular player that could make a difference, could enhance the others, and get you 3 points instead of one.
Yeah. No, look, I think, and I heard your last interview with Tab as well, and I know you guys touched upon it. You know, I think what's been great, Glenn, is you know, Ted coming in has been, you know, it's been really positive. I mean, you know, obviously you saw he, you know, right away, you know, signed off and approved the signing of teammates, the new deal for Tim Parker. And, you know, and he is very supportive of continuing to look to add to the team. I think the thing for us, and I heard you guys talk about this as well, and I'll reiterate it, is, you know, we just want to make sure that, you know, we're doing our due diligence and it's, you know, the right signing and that we're definitely looking at a lot of players right now. And so it's definitely something that we're working towards. We're talking, you know, regularly with Ted and with John and with everybody. And so it's, you know, something that we're definitely looking to continue to strengthen and add the team with important players. It's just got to be, at the right time. And that's the focus right now.
And you did hear, and we're talking to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan, just to remind our listeners, if you're tuning in now and if you're getting it on the stream at ESPN975.com. And Tab did mention a list of, you know, 20 players. Were any of those guys, like right now, guys that if you could pull a deal with, you'd be ready to go on? That you're 100% all in on these guys, that you would say to yourself, hey, this will make our team better?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think the most important thing is we're doing our due diligence. You know, we basically just had a change in ownership right as the window opened. And, you know, you have a 4-week period. And the other thing, too, that we're navigating through is, you know, there's some, you know, leagues that aren't playing right now. There's, you know, there's just a lot that you go through, you know, in the recruitment process. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example, you know, teenage. You know, when we were going through that process, it was really important to travel to Turkey, to watch them live, to meet with them, you know, and then that gives you the level of confidence to make a strong recommendation, you know, to our owner, Ted, which is what we did. And I can tell you that, you know, we had a list of several center backs at different price points, and Ted didn't hesitate at all to go with the most expensive option. And that was teenage. But again, you know, to reiterate the recruitment process that I just mentioned, it's really important. You know, as we're bringing players to the team, you know, also the character of someone as we add them to the locker room. So watching players live, meeting with them in person and doing our due diligence to get to that list that you just spoke about of 20 to get to the final 2 or 3, it's a lot of work to get to that point.
Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan joining us, and would agree with you 100% for him to step in after not playing in 2 months and play the way he has in 2 games. You know, it's a bona fide win, and he makes that pretty clear right when he walks on the field. It's not one of these we hope he adapts to Major League Soccer. So I take you to Mateo Bahamic. Would you have expected more from him at this point in Major League Soccer after getting him from Argentina?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Mateo is a good player. You know, his adaptation to the league is like most young, you know, 20-21-year-olds. It's a different league. It's different travel. There's different, you know, factors to deal with. You know, he's been, you know, getting pieced in, you know, when Tab feels it's appropriate. And he came in against Sporting Kansas City, had a nice assist to Maxi, scored a nice goal this weekend in our U23 match, and then also played later that night. So, you know, he's steadily adapting, but, you know, it's a process. Some players, like, you know, teenage will adapt quicker. Some will, it takes a little bit more time, you know, but we think that he's got some good qualities that are going to help us.
When you bring Mateo, in your mind, Matt, I mean, do you have a time frame where you're going, okay, this is the date where I expect him to be, you know, pushing for the first team or getting X amount of minutes?
It's a good question, Glenn. I mean, I look at other examples of, you know, like when we brought Morrow, you know, I mean, I think that the Morrow was a good example. I mean, you know, that it took time, you know, Morrow started to piece in there. You know, Morrow came, you know, mid-season that first year. I'm not going to say that, hey, you always say, well, hey, by that date, you know, you hope it's as soon as possible. But a lot of times it's just, you know, just it takes different time for different amounts of time for different players. And so I just kind of look at some of the examples through the years.
Yep. You know, I understand. And Morrow also had RGV. We're talking to Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan. Now, you had told me, you know, a number of years back about the three different baskets you guys had, the youth setup and you know, the development academy and player development that the club has under Paul Holliker. You talked about top American players, and then the third basket, I think, was young foreign talent. Is that still the same sort of way you're attacking building the roster?
Yeah, look, I think that is a very good framework for us. You know, we've sat and talked to our owner, Ted, about that as well. I think the thing that we're continuing to push, and this obviously is a big part of Tab being our head coach, is, you know, bringing up players through our system. And I think that's going to be something right now we're competing in a pilot U23 league as we're preparing for next year. You know, that's, you know, a lot of work to get that up and running. So, Glenn, yeah, I think that at the same time, that is still the framework of what we're looking at. You know, I'd say with young players as well, you could add in there, young American, you know, national team system type guys like Griffin Dorsey. And others that we're looking at. So yeah, I think that is something that is still a framework of ours that we're operating under. But at the same time, you know, we have to continue to evolve, and we also have a new ownership group that's quite a new majority owner in Ted that's quite ambitious. We're already seeing that with, you know, the signings we've recently had. We've also seen that just, you know, with the authorization of a new field, and we're redoing another field and our training facility and staffing and stuff at the stadium. So, I mean, you know, it's exciting. And so I think, you know, really it's our job at the senior executive staff level and at, you know, with the different roles to tie that all into the goals and objectives of Ted, our new owner.
So fans sometimes look and they'll see Ricardo Pepe hit for a hat trick at 18 years of age, and we've got Castilla and Rios on this roster. You know, Memo Rodriguez has been a success, no question. But when you see what Ricardo Pepe's doing at 18 and players like that around the league, when do you think we see the breakthrough in that where, you know, we've got 18 and 19-year-olds that are really core contributors to the first team?
I think the key with that, Glenn, is establishing meaningful competition in market. I think that, you know, we did our best with you know, the way we had set up RGV, but it wasn't ideal with the distance. So I think that's been a big part of what's helped Dallas to take that next step with guys like Ricardo and other guys you've mentioned. So I think, you know, if we're going to put a timeline on things, I mean, look, I feel like in the next 12 to 24 months, I mean, we're going to be positioned great for that once we get that, you know, that team here in market competing. I mean, look, we just did a U23 game this last weekend up in San Jose. and it was a really good success, you know, for us. I mean, we had Andre Gattel, you know, who you probably don't know him very well, but it's a young player that is just turning 15 years old that played in that game, right? So you get guys like him and guys like Danny who scored and won these meaningful games. Then they're prepared, you know, and that's a real important part of the process. So I think that's where we've had a big philosophical shift over the last 6 months as we prepare for next year. And I think that's going to be a key piece for us. And of course, you know, Dallas is doing a great job with that. And that's what we're working towards.
Real quick, because I'm on a hard break and I'm getting yelled at by my producer, Matt, but Ted Siegel, does he want to be a selling team as well? Does he want to sell players and earn a profit? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Matt, thank you so much for coming on, because I got to get us to break because I'm going to get in trouble here because we do have to pay the bills. But Matt, I don't know. Do you want to stay over another segment?
If you'd like me to, sure.
I mean, only if you're up for it. You got time?
Yeah, because
I would love to talk to you. Okay, so let's hold on to Matt. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more.
ESPN 97.5.